Our gospel lesson today is taken from the first chapter of John, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28. The gospel today is the writer's introduction of John the Baptist, who attracts so much attention that the authorities from the synagogue come and investigate. It gives John an opportunity to tell them that Christ is among us. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. And this was the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, he did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. May God bless this reading of God's Holy Scripture. Amen. I'm sorry, I got kind of mixed up with the schedule. The anthem is for the next service. I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, open my mouth that I may speak the truth. Open our ears that we may hear what your Spirit speaks to us. And open all of our hearts that we may learn to be better disciples of you, Lord God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Just minutes after I had given our building superintendent, Rich, the title for today's sermon so that he could letter the sign with it, I began wondering if you thought a title like, "Who Are You?" would refer too much to myself. It's a reasonable expectation, being that this is the first opportunity I have in this pulpit. But alas, the sermon today will focus mostly on John the Baptist, primarily how John the Baptist points to the Messiah, the Christ. I remember Rich and I talked about it, and we kind of joked back and forth, "Wouldn't it be fun if I showed up like John is depicted in Mark's Gospel, wearing camel's hair and eating locusts?" Might be kind of fun sometime to do a first-person characterization, but I don't know if this congregation is ready for camel's hair. This description of John the Baptist from Mark adds color, I think, to the Gospel of John's already enigmatic character, who is baptizing, prophesizing, proselytizing on the banks of the Jordan River. John the Baptist attracted so much attention for the official religious leaders of the day that they had to come investigate and ask him, "Who are you?" In fact, they did that in kind of an ancient 20 questions kind of way. Remember that game? "I'm thinking of something. See if you can come up with it in 20 or fewer yes-no questions." So the leaders of that day said, "Who are you? Are you Elijah? No. One of the prophets? No." But of course, first of all, he tells them who he is not. He is not the Christ. They ask him who he is, and he tells them who he is not. And he is not the Christ, or the Messiah, as it's written in the New Revised Version of the Bible. Now, Messiah is a Hebrew word for the Anointed One. The Greeks who wrote the New Testament usually translated it as Christos, or in English, Christ. But at the end of the story, John leaves us with the impression that he knows who this Christ is. He knows the Messiah. John the Baptist lets them know that the one who is coming after him, he is not so much worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. This metaphor, says Bible commentator Gail O'Day, is used to set up how secondary John is to the true Messiah, because not even slaves were required to undo thongs in that day. So this is how unworthy John feels that he is in comparison to the true Messiah. So while the priests and Levites ask John, "Who are you?" we might ask them the same question. Who are you? In fact, that question might apply to all of the characters in this story. Who are you? We have the Jews, who were sent by priests and Levites, who wondered if John the Baptist was Elijah or one of the prophets. We have all of these characters, and the only one who really knows who the Christ is wearing camel's hair and eating locusts. Isn't that always the case? Somebody proclaims that they know who the Christ is and everybody looks at them as if they're irrational, like you've been out in the cold too long. So who are these people? Well, the priests are the ones in charge of the temple and the administration of the things of the temple. The Levites, for all intents and purposes, are also priests. And when you combine the priests and the chief priests, the New Testament usually refers to them as Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, especially in this, the fourth gospel, were used sometimes synonymously with the Jews. As some of you may have noticed in this story, they're used synonymously. Now, these are not the same Jews that we have today. In fact, in this gospel, they are the leaders of one local synagogue with whom the writer or writers of this gospel are particularly upset. So don't confuse the Jews of John's gospel with the Jews of today. So that takes care of those characters, the Jews, the Pharisees, the priests, and Levites. But why is Elijah listed, you may ask? Well, Elijah was an Old Testament prophet called the Messenger of the Way. Elijah was expected to prepare the way for the Messiah. So the Pharisees, in looking for the Messiah, wondered if John the Baptist might be a forerunner in Elijah to the Messiah. Of course, he was not. But he was sent to prepare the way for the true Messiah. And when John finally tells his interrogators who he is, he quotes a prophecy from Isaiah 40. This was first used as a godly saying, telling the Israelites to prepare a way out of the exile, a way for liberation that would bring the glory of God. But in this gospel, it's used as John the Baptist is preparing the way for the Christ. And he knows who the Christ is. Jesus is the Christ. This fits the purpose of the fourth gospel, which is that readers would understand that Jesus is the Christ. John knew the Christ. It is reasonable to assume this because if Luke is right in depicting that their mothers were kinspeople, it's reasonable that in the 30 or so years since that they have been born, that these two got to know each other. So one purpose of this story is for John the Baptist to be an opening act for Jesus Christ, for John to point the way to the Messiah. Therefore, John is rightly an Advent character. Now, of course, he points to a 30-year-old Messiah, but this Messiah hadn't yet been introduced, at least personally, in John's gospel. Now, John doesn't point to a baby. No, John doesn't keep Jesus in the crib. John's gospel John's Jesus is more of an active Jesus. This is not away in the manger kind of Jesus. This is a Jesus of action. This Jesus seeks us to be dependent upon Him. Dependent upon Him for living water, abundant life, eternal salvation. This is the Jesus Christ that John the Baptist proclaims is among you. He tells the Levites and the priests, among you stands one who you do not know. The one who is coming after me, I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. He is talking about Jesus the Christ. Jesus was among them and He is among us. Now, if Christ is among us, as Dr. Pei so often, so aptly says, then you may ask, why do we pretend during Advent that He is yet to come? Yes, Christ is among us. Even during Advent, Christ doesn't take a nap during Advent only to appear again at Christmas. Now, the reason that we may seem to pretend that Christ has not yet come is that the Advent preparation is not a preparation for literal birth. It is a preparation for rebirth. The beginning, which is what Advent means, is for us followers of Jesus Christ, the beginning of rebirth. So in that sense, Christ is both among us and yet to come. God is with us, Emmanuel, in Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, even in this very nave. Christ is with us. But the fullness of Christ is yet to come. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see in a mirror dimly, and then face to face. Now we know only in part, then we will know fully, even as we have been fully known. The fullness of Christ is yet to come, and we await that at Advent. That should be exciting. That should bring great joy. So this week we celebrate the week of great joy, the week of joy during Advent. John the Baptist is proclaiming the joy to us that even though Christ is among us, there is still more yet to come. Christ can be reborn in us again and again. And in that way, John the Baptist points to a Christ the same way a compass points north. There is something in the universe that attracts the pointer to the pole. And when our moral compasses are sensitized by that pole, then we will point in that direction. When I was an 11-year-old Boy Scout, I was given, or maybe I purchased, but anyway, I had a compass. And for some reason, I put that compass on top of my radio, and there resensitized the compass. It pointed in the absolute opposite direction as it was supposed to. I thought, I broke the compass. It was an important lesson. I hadn't broken the compass. I had just changed its polarity. There's components within a stereo that make magnets and things that will resensitize a compass. Now, I tell you that story because it reminds me of what happens to some of us sometimes during this time of the year. The noise of the world, represented by my radio, reverses our polarity and starts to pull us in directions away from God. The world then sensitizes us to that pole, and our lives then become oriented in that direction. So this season of Advent is a season then of reorientation. This gives us an opportunity to have our compasses repolarized in the right direction, to have the compass reversed, and once again go in the direction that we were made to point. Now there are several things that we can do practically to reset our compasses during this season of orientation. I invite you during this season, I invite you to try to make the time to unplug. to cut yourself off from the noise of the world, which was represented in my story by the radio, and find a way in which you can get in touch with the rhythm that God has put inside your heart. Maybe you can come to the concert this afternoon and just listen to the glorious music that God has revealed. Or maybe you can find another way to take your compass away from all that the world tempts us so that you can focus on that rhythm. That way it should be a season of great joy. And even if you can't avoid the world, I urge you to look for the unexpected. Advent is also a time of the unexpected. Look for a prophet wearing camel's hair and eating locusts who points you the way to Christ. Take time to read more about this bringer of light and truth. And I invite you to serve. Find ways to serve. Or, in the language of our covenant, reach out to others in need. Treat them with love and understanding, so that you can see Christ in the faces of the people that you don't ordinarily see. Welcome the stranger, feed the hungry, participate in setting at liberty those who are unjustly shackled by all that holds them captive. Join Christ in participating in the surprising works of salvation and see if God doesn't move your heart to great joy. See if you don't see a fuller Christ among us. See if you don't experience the joy that God has in the Christ who is among us. You may ask, what do I expect? Who do you think I am? Do you think that we are a people gathered to earn our way to heaven? No. Do you think we're trying to save every person? No. Only God can save. And we are not the Christ, but like John the Baptist, we who know that Christ is among us can help to point the way to the living, saving Christ. That is who I hope we all are. Amen.